Well, good evening to each one. I trust that this evening that everybody is encouraged in the Lord. I hope your day went well, but I hope even more that as each day passes, that you find yourself encouraged to be more and more and more a consistent, dependable servant of the Lord. Of this I am confident. There is one thing that the world cannot take from me, and that is the hope and the assurance that I have in my Lord. And I am confident that if I follow Him all the way through, one day at a time, there will come a day where I'll be able to follow Him right on in, and I will have won my reward because of the love and the mercy and the blood of Jesus. I cannot earn my way in, and neither can you. There's no way I can earn my salvation. None of us are good enough. None of us, there's not a checklist that's long enough for us to go through and mark everything off and say, okay, I think I've met the criteria. It's only by the blood of Jesus and His mercy that we're going to make it in. But He's looking for a people who are willing to give their all, and that's who He's going to cover. I want to be part of that people. Tonight I have a message. I feel like that the first two messages that we had yesterday sets the foundation for the message that I feel burdened to share with you tonight. I have three words written on the board, and these are words that the Lord has given us in His Word in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I feel like that there are words that at times are misunderstood. I think that there are times they are misused and sometimes abused. But nevertheless, they are there, and the Lord has a particular meaning and a reason why in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, He has a call to each one of His people to come out and be ye separate. And I would like to look into that for just a little while this evening. And I desire your prayers. I want to tell you this. That verse that says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And when you get up here and you begin to bring out the word of the Lord, those verses come home to you. And you feel a desperate need of the Lord, and I feel that tonight. So please pray for the word tonight. I'd like to start in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah. We referred to this verse yesterday, but I'd like to read it tonight. Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all of your heart." This is one of my favorite verses. Now, I suppose I don't probably have a corner on that. I think it's Carissa's favorite verse. This is a wonderful verse that many people have latched onto, including myself. It's a wonderful verse. The Lord God, it's a verse that speaks to whosoever will. I have good thoughts towards you. I have thoughts of peace to you. I want to give you an expected end. I want to give you an end that is good. I want your end to end in victory. I want you to inherit eternal life. Do you know tonight that the Lord paid a heavy price for us? He died on the cross. He's not a God that's up there with His sword raised, waiting for the first opportunity to cut us off and say, see, now you can't make it in. And just try to make it as difficult as possible. He gave His life. He paid a heavy price for us. And He wants something back for it. He wants a return on His investment, if I can say it that way. And He loves us. And He wants us to have an expected end. So who is he speaking of? He's speaking to whosoever will. Who will come and follow me? His call comes out. Come, follow me. Follow me. Depart from whatever else that you're following. Leave your nets behind. Come and follow me. Why? Because if I don't follow God, if I don't follow Jesus, then I'm going to be following something else. And the scripture tells us that no man cometh to the Father except by who? By Jesus. Another place he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How will I know what the commandments of the Lord are if I don't follow him? I must follow the Lord tonight to know what his commandments are. I must follow him to know what he wants for me. I need to hear his voice and where he says, this is the way, walk ye in it. I need to be in contact with him to know that. Because he wants to give us an expected end. But it's conditional. Because we read, and ye shall seek me and find me, when you search for me with all of your hearts. We must be willing tonight to separate ourselves from the world, from its ways, from our ways, so that we can follow the Lord. He's looking for us to separate ourselves from that that is unlike him. He's calling us to separate ourselves to him, to follow him, so that he can give us that expected end. And if we do that, there's a promise to us. In Jeremiah 30 and 22, if we separate ourselves, if we break away from the world, its ways, our ways, and follow the Lord, it can be spoken of us, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I want to be separated to that tonight. I want to be separated to an acceptable, holy nation, a nation that God has his sanction of approval on. I think about the Lord. If you get a visual with me, I was thinking about the Lord having this leather-bound book sitting next to him up in heaven, well-worn. And it says, my people, on the top. Do you know what a wonderful thing it is for your name to be in that book? For the Lord to be able to reach over and, what's that book right there? These are my people. Well, who all do you have in there? Who do you have under the S's? Well, I don't know. Let's look. Open it up. Here's a Rod Smith from Louisiana, born and raised in Salem, Oregon. That's wonderful. I want to be there. I want to be in that book. Do you know what it would be like to not have your name there? I remember somebody sang a song at Monarch some years ago, something about please search the book again. Do you remember that? That is such a sobering song. To think that our name's not there. I want my name to be there. I want to be part of that holy nation. I want to be in constant touch with the Master's hand. I want to have a prayer like Paul that says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? I want to live my life so that I can always say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. No matter what I'm doing, no matter, as I said yesterday, no matter what I'm looking at, no matter what I'm listening to, no matter what group of people I'm in, no matter how I'm spending my time, I want to live. I want to be following my Lord. I want to be separated unto him so that when he calls my name, I can answer and say, here am I, Lord. Lord, send me. Lord, is it my time? If he knocks on my door and it's my time and I open it and he says, I'm here, I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, I made it. I made it because of you. I was willing to separate myself and follow you. And it worked. Just like you said. The Lord is an unchanging, uncompromising God. He's a God of his word. And it's going to be just like he says in the scriptures. There isn't going to be a change. It isn't going to be different than what... There's not going to be any surprises. We're not going to get to the end of the way and have the Lord say, well, you know, you would have made it except for this, and say, well, Lord, I didn't know about that. There, it isn't going to be that way. If we follow Him, if we're willing to separate ourselves from the world and its ways and our own ways and our own thought process, and we're willing to separate ourselves unto the Lord, we'll follow Him right on in and we'll receive our crown, and you can have assurance of it. That's wonderful. Many in the world want to have a part in glorifying the Lord, I believe. There are many that are willing, there's many that want to have His blessings. Is there anybody here that doesn't want the Lord's blessings? We all want His blessings. There are many that are willing to glorify the Lord, but I want to say this. There are few that are truly willing to be separate. There are those that are willing to be different, and I'm going to make a distinction between being different and being separate. There are those that are willing to be different. All you have to do is look in the world around you. There are different people everywhere. But what strikes me is that the world is more willing for you to be different than they are willing for you to be separate. I believe that. Because again, all you have to do is look around. There are many people that are different, and the world and society will accept people that are different. They'll be tolerant of them. They'll be accepting of it. Well, that's them. You know, if that's the way they feel about it, they can do what they want. I can do what I want. And we can all be one happy family together. But as soon as you separate yourself from this standpoint, you separate yourself by drawing a line in the sand where you say, no, I'm not that way because it's not right. See, it's morally wrong. And the Lord has called me out to not be a participant in the way that much of the world lives and promotes today. Then you'll find a world that comes against you very quickly and very hard. It's difficult to be separate. And yet God has called us out to be separate. And so He gives us special instruction. He says, come out from among them. Come out and be separate, saith the Lord. What is He talking about? Be separate from what? Isn't that a question you would have? If I were in your shoes, I would sit out there and I would say, well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about being separate from? Be separate from sin. Be separate from unrighteousness. Be separate from things that aren't holy. Be separate from bankrupt religion. Be separate from hybrid relationships with the Lord, where I'm some of God or most of God and some of myself or a little bit of myself. Be separate from that. Be separate from willingly being part of those things and those places where the Lord, it's not where maybe you would want to be when the Lord comes back. Be separate from those. Be called out from that. So, we talk about separate from something. What are we separated to? A corner room somewhere? Emptiness? The Lord is not asking us to empty ourselves of ourselves to leave us empty. He's not calling on us to separate ourselves from all that we are drawn to then leave us alone. That's not what His call was. His call was to separate us from the things that are not like Him and to separate us to the truth. Be separated to the truth. Be separated to what's right. And He called it a holy nation. call it a royal priesthood. I want to be part of that. I don't want to be separated from that. I want to be part of the people that we talked about yesterday, the sons of Levi, who when Moses said, "Who will stand on my side? Who will stand with me?" They separated themselves from where they were. I think about Joshua. The Lord came along when it was his turn and he said, "Arise. It's your turn now. Moses is dead. Now arise. It's your number's been called. It's time for you to get up from where you've been and it's time for you to come lead. And the Lord calls your name. If you'll listen, the Lord will come to you throughout your life and he'll say, Roberta, arise. It's your turn in this." And he might say, "Roberta, it's time for you to separate yourself from this. It's time for you to move ahead. Rod, get up from where you are. This thing is hurting you. This is a hindrance to you. It's been nagging at you. You've allowed it in your life for a long time, but it's time now to move on. It's time to separate yourself from those things that drag you down spiritually. Be willing to be like the children of Levi who got up and separated themselves from all else." And he didn't promise that it would be easy. There's a part we didn't talk about yesterday. This is a sober story if you go and read it. We don't have time to read it, but I'll tell you what happened. They separated themselves to Moses, and then the command was given, go out with their swords and take every man and his companion. And they went and they killed, I think it said, close to 3,000 people. Why? Because they didn't separate themselves. When the call came, all right, who's willing to come stand on the side of God? Who's willing to walk away from the gods that you've been serving? We may not have molten gods tonight, but there are lots of man-made, handmade gods in the world today. And people are serving them every day. They're giving their lives to them. They're giving their time to them. They're giving their resources to them. And they're willing to let their soul wilt away because of how much interest they have into the gods of this world. It doesn't have to be a golden calf. Most of the time it's not today. But it comes in the form of a lot of things, folks. You know what they are. And the Lord comes along and he's gentle. He gives us time. He gives us opportunity. But the message is clear. Arise. Separate yourselves. Come away from that. Stand alone. Be willing to come stand over here. And the story told us that those that didn't do that, they lost their lives. I want to say something tonight. I am thankful for the lessons that I can learn from the Old Testament. And I'm thankful for the understanding that I've gotten a hold of because of the law. But I'm also glad that I'm in a time of grace. The scripture says that the law came by Moses and grace by Jesus Christ. I'm glad I live in that time period. Because during the time of the law, that was a time when the judgment of God was executed in a tangible, speedy manner. And that's what happened to the people who didn't separate themselves. And if you want to go back and you want to look at what the judgment of the law outlined for those that violated the law, go back and look at what the law dictated should happen to those that committed adultery and those that stole and disobedient children and those that murdered other people. And it wasn't pretty. Do you think that the Lord feels differently today about us serving gods and letting gods of this world? And sometimes that God is self. And we let it come between us and the Lord. Maybe we don't feel like coming to service, or maybe we just, you know, I mean, it's important to read and pray, but you know, I've got these other things to do, and my job just won't allow it, and you know I need to be an example to my children in this thing, but it's just not me, and I'm just not there yet. And we could spend all evening long. Or there's many things that this world has to offer. They don't offer it in the form of, this is a God, come serve me. No, it's presented much differently than that. But nevertheless, it's a God of this world that the Lord is calling us to separate ourselves from. Because the Lord feels just the same about it today that He did then when He was willing for people to die by the sword. Do you remember Achan, the story of Achan? He violated what the Lord told them to do. He said, don't partake of the accursed thing, lest you bring the accursed thing in among your stuff, and the whole thing becomes accursed. And that's what he did. He had all these other things that were right about his life, but he made a decision to partake of the thing that the Lord said, don't partake of. And who suffered from that? Everyone. There were battles that were lost. In the end, they stoned and burned Achan, his things, and you know who else? His family. And you look at that and you think, man, that seems harsh. But there was a consequence. The Lord wanted us, and He wanted them to understand the seriousness of choosing to go a way that seems right in my own mind. And taking a way that where I don't completely, I'm not willing to separate myself completely. And so the law was there, and to bring about the knowledge of sin and for us to be able to get a hold of what did the Lord mean? How does He think about these things? Now we're in a time of grace, but there's going to come a time. Right now judgment's delayed, but there's a time where judgment's going to be a reality. And I'm going to stand before the Lord and I'm going to be judged, and it's going to be just like it was and worse. As those that were in an unforgiven state prior to this time. So I want to understand the message that the Lord has for us in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Read with me in Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Leviticus 20. Listen to what he said. My Bible says, obedience required with holiness. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Now listen, ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. These aren't my words. These are the words of the Lord. And he instructed them, separate yourselves from these nations that you've been called out of. I have given you a way to live. I've given you my word. I've given you my commandments. Now, separate yourselves from these other nations and live just according to what I have said. I want to learn the lessons that the Lord has for us. Let's look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings in the 17th chapter. I don't know when the last time you read this little passage was, but it has sure made an impression on my mind. 2 Kings 17 and 5. Listen to the story. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. And in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habor by the river of Gozan and the cities of the Medes. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. They feared other gods and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. For they served idols whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing. See, he told them that. Yet the Lord testified against Israel. He's giving them a chance now. He's trying to warn them. And against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made them molten images, even 2 calves, and made a grove, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. And they caused, listen to this, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel, and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. What a moving, sad account. We found that the Israelites began to go back on what the Lord had taught them. They began to go back on the truth that he had opened up to them. The things that he had given them, that while they followed, they were a blessed people. But we find that now they began to turn their hand to the plow. And they began to go back and they began to look at what the other nations round about them were doing. And they began to accept those ways. And they began to follow after those ways. And look at where it led. They began to be tolerant and accepting of the ungodly, minimizing the sin of it. You see, that's how it works. You know how the enemy works? He first comes in and he likes to get us exposed. He likes to get us exposed to what's wrong, because he knows this, that with exposure, it breeds familiarity. With exposure, over time, pretty soon, you become real familiar with it. And then after a little more time, familiarity breeds tolerance. That's just how it works. And then with a little more time, tolerance breeds acceptance. And then pretty soon, it looks reasonable. And then pretty soon, you're right in there with them, and you've sinned. That's what the enemy is trying to do to us today. May we have our eyes open to it. That's what he did. That's what he did to him here. He began to break down the walls of right and wrong. Just kind of mix in with it. Become exposed to it. Let it come in. Let it come in among you. It's not so bad. Become exposed. Become familiar with it. And pretty soon you see it and it really doesn't do anything to you. Think about today. Think about what goes on in our society today. There are despicable things that go on around us. Things that we see, that we hear, that we're exposed to, and I'm as guilty as anyone. I can walk right by it, and you can become so familiar with it, pretty soon you just kind of tolerate it. Pretty soon that's just the way it is. And then after a while, it just doesn't seem so wrong. And then you tell yourself, and these people that are partaking in these things, they don't know any different. They don't think about it like I thought about it because they weren't taught any different. So therefore, maybe it's not as wrong for them. And we start giving allowances. And we start accepting things to come in among us. We start tearing down the walls and blurring the edges of where right and wrong is. And then pretty soon we're not even sure where it is. Pretty soon it's just however you define it. Isaiah tells us that there's going to come a day when we'll call wrong right and right wrong, and we'll put bitter for sweet and we'll put sweet for bitter, and then pretty soon it's just however you think about it. It worries me. It concerns me. Because it's happening all around us. And we're not exempt from it, folks. It can come in right among us. It can affect me. If I'm not careful, if I'm not diligent, if I don't keep my prayer life up, if I don't keep my temple unspotted and clean, so that the Holy Spirit can allow my spiritual eyes to remain clear, then pretty soon I'll look at things and think, well, it's not so bad. We don't think about it like they used to. We think about it in more of a right way, we tell ourselves. The Lord was concerned about it. And so in His mercy, the story tells us that He sent people to them, prophets and seers, telling them, turn away from your evil. But did they? They didn't. They ignored it. Why? Why might we do that today? I'll give you one reason why, particularly in today's age. Back then, they had a whole lot more respect for prophets than they do today. They had more respect for elders than they do today. People come among us today and issue a warning, and it's really easy for us to sit back and say, well, you know, they're just another man. It's just their opinion. It's just how they feel. That's just where they're coming from. And who suffered from it? Not only did they suffer from it, their children suffered from it. Their children suffered as a result of this. They caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and use divination and enchantments, sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, and their children grew up watching them, seeing two different sides and the division lines between right and wrong becoming blurred. And pretty soon they grew up not knowing the difference between right and wrong. God can't change His standards and His blessing just based on how I think. He can't bless sin and wrong. That's why He sent the law, to help us understand what right and wrong was. He wanted to get us to the place where we recognized what sin was. And then He wanted us to recognize that I can't live to it by myself. So He sent Jesus along to give us grace to live above sin. But we've come full circle where we've got people now, it's like the law's never been given. They don't even know the difference between right and wrong anymore. And there's not another plan except for a second coming. I want to say this too. Nowhere do I remember in the scriptures where they told the children of Israel, now these people and these other nations, 100% of them are going to be lost. They're all going to go to hell. They were given strict instructions. Don't go and partake. Don't marry. Don't go out and marry those from the other nations. There's a reason we teach young folks, don't marry outside of the faith. He said that they were told in the Old Testament, don't go marry them. Don't worship their gods. Don't do the things that they did. And yet it strikes me, he never said that all of them were going to be lost and they were all going to go to hell. God is a righteous God. He knows where they are. He knows what their hearts, the condition of their hearts. But he told them, nevertheless, separate yourself from it. Don't go back and do the things that you already have light on. Because if you do, things are going to start getting confused and you're going to start serving their gods and you're going to yoke up with somebody that then is going to move you off of what's right. And I want to just be completely open and plain tonight if I can. Many young people today can look out and say, well, you know, there are others that are saved. We can do the same thing with not just young people and who we fellowship and what we promote and what we are in complete agreement with. We can look out and say, but they're saved and they have a relationship and I'm no better than they are, and I'm not. And we can look at that and say, so if they're saved and they're living right to all they know and they love the Lord, then what can be so wrong with me going and yoking up with them? If they're saved and I'm saved. But you know that that's not the path that God taught us. He told them, he said, don't mingle with the other nations. He didn't say they were all going to go to hell. He said, but don't mingle with them because I've taught you something. You know something different. You have light. I've given you talents of knowledge. Don't shortchange what God has given you. Don't go back and begin to partake of something where it might be okay for them, depending on where they are in their spiritual walk. They may not have the light that you have. God will judge them accordingly. But I can't turn around and turn my hand to the plow and go back over ground that's already been plowed and begin to go into that and bring it in and fellowship it as if we're all in the same place. I'm not any better than they are. But God expects me, if he's given me 5 talents of knowledge, he expects me to return it. And he expects me to live in a way to help bring others up and to show them the truth of what's right and what's wrong. I want to be faithful to that, saints. I want to leave a heritage that my children can follow. I can't make saints out of my children. I can't program other people. I can't raise saints, and neither can you. Everyone's going to make their own decision. And you can't take responsibility completely for decisions that children end up making. But we can teach the truth. We can hold it right. We can live it. We can demonstrate it. We can live in an example for them. We can be separate from the world and its ways and those things that are unlike the Lord. And I want to do that. Well, these people, they went ahead and did what they wanted to do regardless of what the prophets came. Regardless of the warnings came, they did it anyway. And verse 18 says that eventually the Lord removed them out of his sight. Now I want to move on. And for sake of time, we'll pick and choose these verses. This story did not stop here. There is another half to this story The Lord removed them out of the land. He allowed the king of Assyria, to come in, and he allowed them to take them captive and remove them from the land. Then you know what happened? The king of Assyria brought his people in. You can read it for yourself. He brought his people in and began to fill the land that the Lord wanted for his people. He wanted that land for his people. He wanted that land to be blessed by his people and for his people. Well, so here the king of Assyria comes and he puts his people in the land, which the Lord allowed because he allowed them to take the children of Israel out because they weren't living right. And so all these people from these different nations, they came in and they began to live in an unrighteous manner in the land of the Lord. Remember what happened? Lions. He sent lions among them. So lions came in and began to kill some of these people. And they were like, what's going on? Why are these lions coming in here? Seems like sometimes they had more discernment than we do today sometimes in the world. We wonder why all these bad things are happening. It's like, because we're living in an unrighteous manner. Our land, we're turning away from God. And these people said, why is this happening? And people came and said, because we're not serving the God. We're not following after the statutes that the God of this land, the people that were here before us, were not living like the God of this land wanted us to live. So you know what their solution was? Well, go find a priest. Go find somebody who knows something about how we're supposed to live and bring them in here. And let's find out what we're supposed to do to keep these lions from killing us. So they went and they found some of these priests and they brought them back and they began to ask them, you know, how are we supposed to live? Well, so the priest began to tell them how they were supposed to live. But read verse 33. This was their solution. They feared the Lord, capital L, our God. They feared him and they served their own gods. So they thought, we'll do both. We'll figure out how to make this work on both ends. We'll do the things, you know, for the most part that we think the Lord wants. But we're also going to go ahead and live like we want to live. We're going to serve our gods too. We don't want to give our gods up, so we'll try to do both. Does it sound familiar? That's what's happening all around us, saints. People are serving the gods of this world, and yet they don't want the consequences that are associated with not serving the one true God. And so people are trying to figure out, how do we get to do both? And so what does it say? They feared the Lord, and they served their gods after the manner of the nations, whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant, listen to what he said, and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods. Separate yourselves from them. Don't have anything to do with them. Put distance between yourself and other gods. Don't get cozy with it. Don't begin to integrate yourself with the other nations and with their gods and with their works and what they do and where they go. The same holds true for us tonight, folks. If we go where the world goes, if we watch what they watch, if we listen to what they listen to, if we fellowship where they fellowship, we're going to be influenced and we're going to be taken right down this path that these children of Israel did. And the Lord told them. We read here, he said, the Lord charged them, don't fear other gods. Don't bow yourselves down to these idols. Don't bow yourselves to them. Don't serve them. Don't sacrifice to them. And the 40th verse said, but they didn't hearken. But they did after their former manner. And then a conclusion, in 41st verse that concluded their little story. So these nations feared the Lord and they served their graven images. They're going to do both. Going to try to do both. They didn't want to separate. They didn't want to completely walk away from the things that were so important to them. The gods that they didn't want to let go of. They wanted to hold on to it, so they tried to do both. They served the Lord, they feared the Lord, and they served their graven images. Both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Who keeps suffering? It's not just you. It's our children. It's our grandchildren. It's our body, our church family. I'm not willing to do that. So many times in our own wisdom, we feel like we can kind of figure out where that line is for ourselves. We kind of think we think we can figure out how to push the edge. Get as much as I can from the world, as much as I want for myself, serve the gods of this land as much as I can, and still be okay. But what if your children start playing in that area? What happens to them? Well, they get accustomed to it. There's danger there. If God gives me a land and He says it's this big and right on the edge, it falls off into destruction, but this is my land, why do I want to play over here? Why do I want to build my house there? Why do I want to set my standards as close to the fence as I can? I want to put some distance between there. I want a safe place for my children. Well, that's why we hold standards of holiness. That's why we do some of the things that we do, because we want to serve God. We don't want there to be any confusion in God's minds who we're serving. We don't want there to be any confusion in our children's minds. We don't want there to be a mistake. We don't want to operate in an area that could so easily cause our children and their children and on and on and on to become in a place where no longer do they understand and realize what truth is and where it is. We say, well, it's between us and God, and He'll be faithful to them. Saints, He brought the gospel message to us to take into the world and share it. And for the salvation of souls, He gave me a responsibility for that. And yes, He'll judge everybody righteously, and I thank God for that. But I have a responsibility. And my responsibility is to be separate. To come out and to be separate. I don't want my children to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I want to fear the Lord only. I want to identify the gods that are in my life that are a hindrance to my service to the Lord that I want to give an undivided heart to. And I want to get rid of those gods. And I want to serve Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my might. I want to be completely dedicated to Him. I don't want to be in the place where I'm trying to fear the Lord and do all these other things. He said, come out and be ye separate. Don't go into those other nations. Separate yourselves from those. Brother Darrell Johnson said one time, I was in prayer meeting, and he said, some people say, well, I just see things a little bit differently than you do. And he said, what really they should be saying is, I've backslid. But have you noticed that it seems like nobody backslides anymore? They do. But even in my time, I'm not that old, I remember there was more people that would have a testimony of, I backslid, and I'm thankful for God saving me. But it seems like nobody backslides anymore. It seems like you can just kind of live however you want. You don't have to come out and be separate anymore. You can serve other things as long as, I don't know. It doesn't work. And it's serious. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says it in the New Testament. Come ye out and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I know I'm running late. I have just a little bit, if you'll bear with me. I'm almost done. There is a law of nature that says if you touch fire, you're going to get burned. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter and the 27th verse, he said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? You can't. If you don't separate yourself, you're going to be affected. And the scripture says, come out and be separate and don't touch the unclean thing. It didn't say don't partake of it. It said don't touch it. Don't touch it. I read something the other day. Somebody was giving an example of the fruit that Eve partook of. He could just hear that the enemy telling Eve, well, the Lord never said you couldn't look at it. He just said you couldn't eat it. And so she started looking at it. And the enemy was like, good, good, that's good. Now, the Lord never said that you couldn't pick it and touch it. He just said you couldn't eat it. And so she started to touch it. Well, the Lord never said that you couldn't lick it. He just said you couldn't eat it. And pretty soon, it started by her being willing to look at it. Being willing to touch it. Being willing to handle it. Being willing to get close to it. And the scripture says, come out and be separate. Separate yourself from it. Don't touch it. In Exodus 20 and 25, he talked about don't build altars with hewn stones. What was he talking about? Don't put your hand. We're trying to customize our relationships all the time. I'm speaking generally. I hope you're not. The Lord wants us to build an altar and a temple that is just like He wants it, just like He's told us to. We don't need to start chiseling away and making things fit like we want it to fit. God's looking for a separate people. He's looking for a people that is separated unto truth. He's looking for a people who are willing to stand up and be strong in the face of all the other gods that are out there before us today. In an age where so much is accepted, in an age where sin does not seem to be exceedingly sinful anymore, folks, be willing to be separate. Be willing to arise. Be willing to answer the call of God and say, Lord, I'll go. I will serve you only. Lord, I'm done trying to figure out how to make it work on my terms. I just want to do it like you want me to do it. I'm willing to separate myself totally, wholly, and completely unto truth. May God help each one of us that we will be faithful to His call, to His expectation. He'll help us do it. He'll help us get there. He'll give you the strength. You just have to be willing. If you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Pray for me.